This morning's reading from the Hebrew Bible is from Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. You may find it, if my notes are correct, in page 465 of the Pew Bible. I will begin. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on God's law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they flourish. This is the reading from Psalm this morning.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, and you can find it on page 837 in your Pew Bible if you'd like to follow along. When Jesus saw the growing crowds, he went up to the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I have to wonder what the disciples thought when they heard Jesus say these words. This happens pretty early on in the Gospel of Matthew, when they are just starting to follow this charismatic leader, and maybe they're not quite sure what they signed up for, but they follow Jesus up to the mountain, and he has them all sit, and then he says these words about who is going to be blessed, who is going to be favored in this movement that they are beginning together. And he says, "Blessed are the poor, those who are grieving, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who are hungry and thirsty, blessed are those who show mercy instead of getting their revenge, blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are the peacemakers," you know, those folks who kind of get in the middle of it and nobody's really happy with them, that they're trying to make things right, "and blessed are those who are persecuted," and people who are reviled against and persecuted and uttered all sorts of evil against. I think I might have said, can I rethink this? I'm not really sure that I am excited about being part of a movement where these are the kinds of people, these are the kinds of situations that are going to be favored. I don't really want to be persecuted. I don't particularly like to be hungry or thirsty. I get kind of hangry after a while. I don't particularly want to have a big loss in my life that makes me grieve and mourn. It'd be nice not to be so poor that I'm not sure where I'm going to spend the night or what I'm going to have to wear for the next day. And yet this is how Jesus opens his ministry with his followers. He invites them to see all of these things that the wider world would call cursed or unfortunate as an invitation to draw closer to God. We're going to talk more about that in just a minute, but first, I want to say that I think sometimes the Beatitudes, as this passage is known, have been misused. Sometimes you'll hear people say, oh, well, the poor are blessed by God, so, you know, that look how happy they are with how little they have. It's almost a way to get those of us who have more material resources off the hook. And we have to be careful about how we use this language. Or even if you have y'all heard of the prosperity gospel? Is that a familiar term to anyone? This actually, I think, the Beatitudes are a good corrective to that and can be used well to say, we are not blessed necessarily when God gives us all of these material markers of success. We are blessed even when those things aren't present. The word blessed in the gospel reading in the Greek is makarios, or makarioi, and it actually means lengthened or enlarged. And I don't think, especially in the way that Jesus uses it, I don't think that means that we get more, right? That we have excess of what we need. I think it means that there's more space, more room made for God in these circumstances that really can be quite difficult. I think about people who indeed are going against the grain in our culture. Our society says not that the meek or the humble are blessed, but that those who are ambitious and who can take charge are the ones who will succeed. Our society says that those who have accumulated a lot of material wealth are the ones who are blessed. Have you ever seen on Facebook or on Instagram, people will say, oh, we just went on this beautiful vacation in the Caribbean. Look at all these pictures. We had such a great time. Hashtag blessed. I don't think that's really where Jesus is heading with this. I think that it's the opposite direction, but our society is so used to seeing success as a blessing. We raise up those who aren't pure in heart, but those who are able to calculate and strategize and find ways to get to the top while stepping on other people. Our society lionizes those who go off to war and who make sure that our weapons are directed at those who have harmed us instead of seeking after mercy. And our society definitely does not lift up those who are persecuted as a model to follow. We'd all rather be the ones who are leading the charge than the ones who are left behind and squashed under the weight of structures that are unjust. Yet Jesus insists that those are all places where we are blessed. I think if we consider some moments in our lives when we have been in those places, we realize that when we don't have the buffer of material success, when we don't have the buffer of status and standing, when we don't have the buffer of a strong weapon to reach out and retaliate at those who have hurt us, when we don't have those defenses, sometimes when we're at our very lowest, that can be the time when there is enough room for God to come in to our lives. Maybe we are at the end of our rope, and that's when God shows up to carry us when we can no longer make it ourselves. There is a writer named Leticia Ochoa Adams who lost her oldest son to suicide a few months ago. And she wrote a post about this on Instagram about going to her son's funeral mass. And if you're familiar with the Catholic funeral mass, you'll know that communion or Eucharist is part of that service. And she wrote and said, "As I passed Anthony's body to receive communion, I felt like my legs were going to buckle and I was going to leave my body. Just as I was about to give up, I heard the words, 'The body of Christ.' And there he was. He was all around me, in the priests, in the people who read the readings, in the prayers from people all over the world, in the pews. The body of Christ. I am not strong these days. Since Anthony's suicide, I am the weakest I've ever been. I cry all the time. I'm always tired. I can't remember anything. What everyone sees in me that looks like strength has got to be Jesus." I used to think people who said that were lame and cheesy. But I know for sure that if it weren't for God, I would have buckled that day and never gotten back up. And she goes on to say that she doesn't think that it's because of this bad thing that her relationship has been helped, her relationship with God has been helped, but it's that she came to the end of herself and could go no further, and that is where God showed up to carry her those last few steps, to carry her every day since her son's death. I think when we don't have those buffers, when we're able to come to the end of our own sense of being able to make it on our own, that is where Jesus shows up. That is where we are blessed. And I think it's also a declaration on Jesus's part of who we are to lift up when we are not in these categories, when we have enough, when we are feeling strong, when we are able to get through the day, who around us might need to be blessed, and how could we be the folks who contribute to that? Who might need someone, as Scott was saying this morning, to bring them a meal? Who might need someone to come and sit with them as a beloved family member dies? Who might need someone to have someone use a voice of privilege or of power or a louder voice to be able to direct attention to some injustice, something that is not right? I think that is where we will meet God. That is where we will feel that blessing. That is where there will be an enlarging and a lengthening of the space inside us so that there's enough room for Jesus to move in. I'd like to close with another translation of these verses. It's from The Message, which uses a lot of modern colloquial language to help us hear really beloved and familiar texts anew, because I think we've all heard the Beatitudes so many times that we almost don't hear how radical they sound. So let's listen again to these blessings. "When Jesus saw his ministry drawing huge crowds, he climbed a hillside. Those who were apprenticed to him climbed with him. Arriving at a quiet place, he sat down and taught his climbing companions. And this is what he said: 'You're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of what has carried you through till now, there is more of God and more of God's kingdom. You're blessed when you feel you've lost what is most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you. You're blessed when you're content with just who you are, no more, no less. That's the moment you find yourselves proud owners of everything that can't be bought. You're blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God. God's food and drink is the best meal you'll ever eat. You're blessed when you care. At the moment of being careful, full of care, you'll find yourselves cared for. You're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and your heart, put right. Then you can see God in the outside world. You're blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. That's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family. And you're blessed when your commitment to God provokes persecution. The persecution drives you even deeper into God's kingdom. Not only that, count yourselves blessed every time people put you down or throw you out or speak lies about you to discredit me. What it means is that the truth is too close for comfort, and they are uncomfortable. You can be glad when that happens. Give a cheer even, for even if they don't like it, I do. And all heaven applauds. Know you are in good company, because my prophets and witnesses have always gotten into this kind of trouble. So whether we are in that trouble ourselves or whether we are in a place to help make trouble on behalf of others who need our advocacy, may we look for ways to be a blessing and to be blessed in God's version of the world. And speaking of blessings, amen. So I have a confession to make, and that is that I feel like I was not completely on my usual game for my sermon this morning. There were so many things I wanted to say, several directions I wanted to go in. And I thought as I was standing up here during communion and I was praying and I thought, oh man, I kind of muffed that one up, God. I'd like a redo on that. And God said, this is an opportunity in your humbleness for me to do my work regardless of whether you did your best or did it just right. So I encourage you as you go out into this week and into this world to look for the places where you don't feel so good about how you're doing, or it seems really hard, or it seems like you wish you could have a do-over and that you'd like things to go differently. And look for how God might be working anyway, or especially through those difficult places. Go in peace.